Somebody that thinks, amen, whoever it might be, I'm not saying it's in here, but people that would think living for God is, you know, for old men and old ladies and for people that don't really have any purpose in their life, that are weak.
All right.
But I'm here to tell you it's not for that. It's not for the weak of heart.
Right.
Yes.
Amen. I'd like you to turn to the book of Luke, chapter 9, 1 through 6, if you would, please. I'll try not to keep you very long. I know people got to go to work and all that kind of thing. Book of Luke, chapter 9, 1 through 6. Then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all devils.
Yes.
And to cure diseases.
Yes.
And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick.
Yes.
And he said unto them, take nothing for your journey, neither staves, nor scrip, neither bread, neither money, neither hath two coats apiece. And whatsoever house ye enter into, there abide, and thence depart. And whatsoever will not, and whosoever will not receive you when ye go out of that city, shake off the very dust from your feet for a testimony against them. And they departed and went through the towns, preaching the gospel and healing everywhere. Could you imagine?
Yes.
Somebody telling you that after you watch them, amen, for a portion of your life, do all these things. Now he's telling you, go out. By myself? Yes, you go out. You and this other guy. You guys go together. You mean you're not coming? No, I'm not coming. I give you power to do these things. I just like to preach a message called The Great Adventure. Hallelujah. Brother,
if you pray.
Lord, by your Spirit, touch us in this place. Open our hearts and our minds, Lord, to receive what your word would have for us in this place. Send your word and heal us in the precious name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for truth. In Jesus' name.
Church said amen.
Amen.
You can be seated. Amen. Imagine what these apostles, these disciples, had witnessed with Jesus. I just have a few of them. And just try to imagine, just all in your mind, imagine if you were there. I don't know how many miracles you saw or how many anything like devils cast out. And whatever it is, I don't know how many things that we saw. But these men saw a lot.
Yes, they did.
The Bible says that if all the things that Jesus, all the miracles that Jesus had done were written in the book, the world would not be large enough to hold that book.
Right.
Amen. That is a lot of miracles.
Yes.
So they were listening to this, and he sent them out. And I imagine they said, wow. And they looked at each other and wondered, what in the world is going to happen? They were imagining the possibilities.
Right.
Because they had saw, amen, Jesus do many things. Probably they had apprehension, which is nervousness. And they were also excited, wondering, I wonder what holds in our future.
Right.
The apostles observed Jesus do miracles and impossibilities.
Right. Yes.
Peter was fishing all night long and caught nothing.
Right.
Yes. Amen. And Peter was an experienced fisherman.
Right. Yes, he was.
I mean, they had a company and everything. I don't know his meaning. Somebody's so good. But, I mean, these people in those days, they didn't have anything to back them up, so they had to be good at what they did.
Right.
And they fished all night and caught nothing, and I suppose they were feeling pretty bad about it.
Yes.
Discouraged. And Jesus is standing there, and he tells them, cast your net for a drop.
Yes.
Peter, being who Peter is, I can imagine what he's gone. Who is this guy? What? And he's not a fisherman, although he was a fisher of men.
Right.
And he said, you know what? We fished all night. We didn't catch anything. And in his mind, he's saying, I don't think we're going to catch anything now. But you know what he said? He says, nevertheless, I'll do it.
My word, yes.
This is what they saw. And so he casts his net in, and he's not expecting anything, I'm thinking, until the boat starts rocking and starts tilting one way. And Peter's eyes are getting bigger, and he's going, what in the world is going on? And he's yelling and screaming, and perhaps the sons of Zebedee run over, I don't know, and start, get on this side of the boat, put the fat guy on this side of the boat to level it out because the fish are pulling it over. That would have been me. And they're saying, and all of a sudden, amen, this fish were coming up and the net was tearing and breaking. They saw that. They saw the leper come up.
Yes.
Amen. I've never seen a leper, but I've read about it where possibly their nose is eaten off.
Yes.
And, right. and they probably got sores on their body. And their,
right.
I understand their skin gets real white and
yes.
their fingers are missing. And it's a slow death, a miserable thing. They're separated from their family and they have to be humiliated. And
yes.
walk when they see somebody coming, they have to cry out, unclean, unclean.
Right.
And they just have a sentence of death on them.
Right.
Yes.
But they saw a man come to Jesus. A man that was a leper. And Jesus healed him.
Right.
These are things that I think I found in here before. Chapter 9 of Luke. The things they saw. These are only the ones that are written down.
Yes.
And Jesus went out into the wilderness. And all the people from the towns came out to the wilderness because they heard Jesus was there.
Yes.
And it says he did many miracles. And they watched it. And they saw those things. There was a woman named Mary Magdalene who he had cast out not one, not two, not five, but seven devils.
All right.
They saw that. They observed that. They watched that. Amen. They saw the man that was sick and his friends. Isn't it wonderful to have friends?
Right.
I mean real friends.
Right.
I'm telling us, why don't we be a real friend?
Right.
I'd be so busy that we can't help somebody or give them a kind word. But this man had friends. They had him, and they had him on a stretcher or a fire or whatever you want to call it. And Jesus was in this place, in this house, and he was. They were all crowded in there because these are people. Amen. They didn't have the network of hospitals and. And
right.
doctors and stuff and people, they didn't have modern medicine. They were desperate.
Yes.
Right.
And Jesus was in this place healing them and helping them.
Right.
But this man needed healed. They're moving over here, excuse me, pardon me, trying to push. Ain't nobody moving. I'm getting mine.
Right. It's
kind of like maybe on Thanksgiving, on Black Friday, when they're trying
right.
to get something and they're camped out there since 2 in the morning. You imagine somebody trying to get in their spot.
Right.
So they take him up on the roof. I'm wondering how they did that without propping him. But they got him up on the roof and they tore the roof apart.
Right.
How bold is that? You're tearing my roof apart. And they lowered him down through the roof. And Jesus saw that kind of faith.
Yes.
Those kind of friends.
Right.
And Jesus healed him. And that's something they saw. And I could go on and on and on about all that he did. And then yet he tells them, I want you to go out on the great adventure.
Right.
And I want you to do what I've done. Really?
Yes.
Now go. Do the same thing. They might have said, me? He said, yeah, you. Go. So they went. And they established the church and they did many things and they came back and they was all happy and they were talking about it all. And Jesus, as usual, said, don't be all excited about that.
Right.
So be excited that your name is written in the Lamb's book of life.
Right.
Did you see these guys?
Yeah.
Poke their balloon for a moment. The gospel is beautiful. It's miraculous.
Right.
It's glorious. It's fantastic.
Yes.
Amen. It's wonderful. It's everything. Any great word you could say if you want it to be, if you believe it to be, because
right.
it truly
is.
Yes, it is. Yes.
I'm going to read to you Luke 51 quickly. I thought it would be quickly. I tried to put these little markers in there, but I didn't do so good. I'm sorry, 151. I'm sorry, there is no 51. Luke 151 through 53 says this. He had filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent empty away. He had opened his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spake to the fathers, to Abraham, and to the seed forever. The point being is the people, amen, that are the least supposedly in the world are the ones God uses.
Yes.
Amen. And that's me. That may be you.
Right.
I don't know anybody in here that's a millionaire. I don't know anybody in here that's born of royal blood other than Jesus. I'm telling you, He has chosen us.
Yes.
Amen.
Right.
To go out and preach the gospel and to do His will. Just like He did. Ignorant fishermen and the rest of them. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad that He called on your name?
Yes.
Amen. I saw a thing the other day. It says, I want to do like Jesus this year. It says, I want to hang out with sinners, upset religious people,
yes,
choose unpopular friends, and take naps on boats.
Yes.
Right.
While they're sleeping.
I'm not telling you, but you can get the joke about it.
Yes.
He chose, in my term, dirt bags.
Right.
To bring them out of that place,
yes,
right, into His kingdom. So sometimes you can look back and see where He brought you from, and you can be happy and excited.
Yes.
Amen. Thank Hallelujah.
You.
Glorify His name for what He's done.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you,
Lord. He is hope for the hopeless.
Yes.
The Bible talks about beauty for ashes.
Yes.
Amen. He made the difference for us.
Difference.
Amen. And it says in Psalm 136 at the end of each verse, and His mercy endureth forever. So when the devil tells you you went too far, when the devil tells you that was too much, when he tells you, it says, for His mercy endureth forever. His mercy endureth forever. His mercy endureth forever. We need to, and we should, and it should come natural to us to shout this message from the housetop.
Yes.
What an adventure it is to live for God. And I'm talking about right here, right now.
Right now.
I'm not necessarily, or I'm not telling you, amen, to go down to Lazy, whatever that place is down there, and get you an RV or something to take off. Right here. Right now.
Yes.
You don't need to go to Mississippi.
Yes.
You don't need to go to Texas. You know, we're right here. There are souls right there that need, amen, to hear the Word of God. He's calling us, amen, like He said the apostle. Go out and preach the gospel to every creature. Amen. Can you lift your hands?
Yes, thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, Lord. Help us, Lord. To be
Before we do that, we've got to be able to hear His voice.
Yes.
And to know Him.
Yes.
And the power of His resurrection. We need to know Him. And if we know Him, we can hear His voice. And another we will not hear. We will distinguish that it's from Him. Ephesians 3:14-19 says, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you, listen to this, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in you, in your hearts by faith, that ye be rooted and grounded in His love, that ye may be able to comprehend, understand with all saints what is the breadth, the length, the depth, and the height, and to know the love of Christ with passive knowledge, and we might be filled with the fullness of God. When we can hear His voice, when we know His voice, when we pray and feel His presence, then we have power to do His will.
Right.
Amen. Then the adventure begins. I think about a man that was really nobody. His name was Gideon. We think he's somebody.
Right.
Because we read about him. But Gideon was, they'd act like he was some kind of coward. But he wasn't. They would thresh their wheat or whatever, and these other folks would come and steal it. And he had a family, so he was in a place kind of looking over his shoulder. Hurry up, get this threshed, and get it home. And while he's doing that, He's probably not really feeling all good about himself. I'm hiding around here. These guys are
more. Right, right.
And the voice says, O Gideon, thou mighty man of valor.
Yes.
Can you see him? You talking to me? He heard my voice. You talking to me, O mighty man of valor?
Yes.
The adventure began. The adventure began. You know the story. They told him, you're going out to get all these warriors and you're going to destroy them. Okay, where's my men? You got 300 of them.
Right.
Where's my weapons? It's a pitcher and a lantern or a lamp.
Right.
That's an adventure.
Right.
You might think to yourself, oh man, I hear voices. Is that really God?
Right.
We know what happened. He did it. He won the battle. Philip, the Lord told him, he can hear the voice. That's my point. The Lord said, the Spirit said, go out into this desert, Gaza.
Right.
And he walked out there and he sees a man in the desert. I'm picturing this. I mean, you think about a desert, it's just an open space with sand and things. I don't know, maybe there's an oasis there somewhere, but he walks out there and there is this man, this eunuch, this Ethiopian eunuch, sitting in a chariot.
Right.
Looking at scrolls or something.
Yes.
And Philip walks up. Maybe he saw him coming from afar off, and he walks up and he says, understandest what thou readest? Could you see the guy? How can I unless some man teach me?
Yes.
And he was reading in Isaiah, and he began to preach unto him.
Right.
Jesus. Yes. And that wasn't the end of that adventure.
Right.
When he was done, the man said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?
Yeah. Right.
Now, it had to be enough water to be baptized.
Yeah. Right.
Not sprinkled. Yeah. It had to be enough in the desert.
Yeah.
Yes.
So he takes him and he baptizes him. And when he went down into the water, when he came up, we're in the desert, you can see miles and miles. The adventure began. Philip disappeared.
Right.
And was gone. And he began to preach somewhere else. Amen. I like that kind of adventure. How about you?
Right.
I like that better than some kind of old man religion.
All right.
I like the songs we sing here. I like them. They're all mixed and different stuff, and it's great. You know, I always said this is like going to a concert, and then you come around and start another brand, you know, Southern Gospel, and we got Gold City, and we got everybody else. It's wonderful. Isn't it wonderful?
Yeah.
But I want more than that.
Amen.
Yeah.
I want to feel the presence of God. I want to hear His voice. Yeah. I want to hear Him say my name.
Oh,
and give me direction. Amen. I want to join the club that disrupts the devil's deeds.
Yes.
Right?
We all have that potential.
Right.
You think, man, I'm a man's man, or I've really accomplished something in this world. I'm this and I'm that. I got money and all that kind of thing. But wait until you hear the voice of the Lord tell you to do this, and you disrupt the world of the devil. You change somebody's life. You talk to somebody.
Right.
They're distressed and distraught.
Yeah.
And God gave you the words and you speak something to them. And they're delivered. Amen. And they rise up in victory.
Right.
Can you lift your hands?
Oh, thank you, precious Savior.
I want to hear the Lord say, do this, do that. See him. See her.
Yes.
Minister to them.
Thank you.
Witness and not be ashamed. Have intercession. You know, when you intercede, I've said this before, it's like your guts are wrenching. You're praying for somebody. God put them on your heart. You can feel their pain. You can feel their struggle. You can feel their problem. Amen. And you start praying, God, just like Bartimaeus, blind Bartimaeus, Jesus, thou son of David, make the difference for them. That's what I want. That's what I want. I'm not interested in going to church and then going home.
Right.
I'm not interested. I mean, that's fun and fine, all the things we do. But I mean, there's something more.
Yes.
All right. Yes.
God has called us. Amen. Go out and do what I did.
Right.
Amen. Can you clap your hands? righteous man availeth much.
Much, yes.
You have the potential, amen, of a powerful, powerful
That's right.
Prayer.
That's right.
Both men and women, powerful, powerful.
Yes.
Amen. It's time to beat the bully up.
Yes.
Beat the bully up. I always like that when the bully gets his.
Right.
The devil's a bully.
Yes, he is.
You say, oh, this devil thing, it's like a cartoon thing. No, it's a real deal.
Yes.
Right.
Amen. He torments folks. You don't have to be filled with the devil. You don't have to be possessed to have him torment you.
Right.
He'll torment you. He'll make a mess. He's done it to me. He's probably done it to you. And he's done it to a lot of folks.
Right.
Amen. And he needs to be beaten. And you know who can do that?
Yes.
Somebody that's ready for the great adventure.
Right.
Amen. The Bible says, draw nigh to God, he'll draw nigh to you. Resist the devil. I got written, rebuke the devil, and he'll flee.
Right.
That's what the Word of God says. He'll go. He has to go.
Right.
Now, he won't go without a fight.
Right.
But he'll go because of the power of the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
It's a huge, huge commitment to take. I read a book a number of years ago. It was about two men and an expedition. It was the Lewis and Clark expedition. I know if you've ever heard of them. Maybe the younger ones haven't. But Thomas Jefferson, amen, back in the day, he wanted to secure a whole continent for the United States from sea to sea.
Yeah. Right.
And a little later, after they were already planning this thing, they had the Louisiana Purchase, and they had it. But there was a great adventure waiting these men.
Right.
The book was entitled, and it's a good book, Undaunted Courage is what it's called.
Right.
Yes. Undaunted Courage. Amen. And I looked up the word undaunted, and it's not intimidated or discouraged by difficulty or danger or disappointment. I think we've all had that. But it says not to be intimidated by courage, mental or moral strength to venture or withstand danger, fear, or difficulty. I can picture these folks when they had the commission to go out. These were not mountain men. One was an aide to Thomas Jefferson.
Right.
And one of them was a captain in the army, but they weren't equipped like they were experts on what they were about to do.
Right.
I go to my son's house. He lives in Texas, and he's got 13 acres, and all around it is tree line, and it's thick. Kind of like here. You let something go for a year, and all of a sudden it's a forest.
Yes.
And I remember sitting there at night when it's starting to get dusk, and you hear noises in that tree line.
Yes.
You can't see nothing, but you can hear it.
Right.
And I heard it, and you can hear coyotes in there. You can't see them. And I remember taking a floodlight at night, and you see all these eyes looking at you.
Right.
And if you got the floodlight close enough, there are deer and all kinds of things. He had three ducks. He's only got two now. Something came out of them woods and grabbed one of his ducks.
Yes.
Maybe it's a fox. Who knows what it is? He has a camera in the back of his property. One of them game things, and there's bobcats and pigs, and everything is back there in that wood line. Can you imagine Lewis and Clark before they went looking in that wood line?
Right. Yes.
I wonder what's there. They thought there was mastodons out there.
Yes.
They haven't seen, no white man had ever been there. Only Indians. They didn't know if they were hostile to them. They thought there was dinosaurs, Brother Bench.
Yes.
I mean, we're not like today. We know stuff. They didn't know.
Right.
Could be giants.
Right.
Could be
Bigfoot.
And the world's flat. All right, never mind. But they were wondering what was in there, and they were looking. Amen. Wild beast. What kind of weather? But you know what they did? They had undaunted courage. They
went
away.
Yes, that's
I'm
right.
I'm telling you, there's a bigger deal than us just standing there and watching the tree line, talking about it from the pulpit and agreeing about it. But what are we going to do with it?
Right.
You might be in Colorado, if you look up at the mountains, they sure look nice, and pretty much all year there's snow on them.
Right.
Yes.
Oh, that's wonderful what's up there. Well, I go to the beach once in a while, and I'll stand there and look out at the water and think, wow, I wonder if I went straight out there where I would be. I think they looked out there and they thought, maybe they had apprehension, but they went anyhow.
Right.
I'm telling you, you think this living for Jesus thing is weak? You're absolutely wrong.
Right.
You know what makes it even greater? It don't take a big person or a strong person. It takes the power of the Holy Ghost.
Right.
Hey, can you lift your hands? The power of the Holy Ghost to lead us and to guide us in all truth. Oh God, to give us strength and power and might to overcome all obstacles. Amen. To have the victory. Amen. In Jesus' name. Can you say Jesus' name?
Jesus' name.
So they went 800 miles. Now, I read what they did. They had this big ship made and had all their stuff in it, all their food, and they had a couple other ones. But they went upriver. You know what that meant? You had guys on each side with these sticks. And they stick them in and they always go like this and walk around. It was grueling.
Yes.
And they just kept moving them over. They thought they were going to find a river route all the way to the Pacific. But they were wrong. And they came to a certain spot. I'm talking life gets rough sometimes.
Yes.
But we got to keep going.
Yes.
Amen. So they get to a certain point and they get discouraged because they look out. There is no river. Just mountains.
Right.
So they go and they cut down some cottonwoods and they make wheels and they start pulling. And they sent back one of the boats and they start pulling it through the land. Then they came back on and they come to some falls that they didn't know to go over the falls or go around them. Mm-hmm. But nevertheless, they made it. They made it because they had courage.
Right.
And they weren't satisfied with looking at the tree line.
Right.
They weren't satisfied with looking up at the mountains. You got to go up in the mountains. And there's a place called Carroll Ridge Road. I think it's the highest highway in the country. I've been over it. They close it during all the way till sometime in the spring, maybe June. But I mean, I go up there, these huge elk. You look like you'd like huge elk. You look like the kind of guy that would grab one in a headlock and wrestle it in your trailer. Big animals. That's right. I went to Yellowstone. I never saw any bear. I've been there twice. I saw some bear last time. One of them come running up. He was a grizzly. And I said, let's move on.
Right.
Saw moose there. I saw, but you know, I've never seen it unless I went up in the mountains.
Right.
Once in a while, you know, you see deer. There's millions of deer. I mean, you think, well, I saw a deer. Well, they're everywhere. Down below. But I'm telling you, we live for God. And we hear the Word of God.
Right.
We get excited. We read about people in the Old Testament. People in the New Testament, we read about all those things, but sometimes we're just satisfied looking at the tree line.
Right.
I'm going to tell you, it took a lot of guts and undaunted courage for Brother Texter to do what he's doing here.
Right.
Oh, he isn't going to pay me for this, but I'm telling you, it takes, and for this brother right here, some people would never live in a RV. I did for 2 years, but he likes it. So does she. It's beautiful. She's building all kinds of stuff. Little pathways and little whatever they are. Pavilions and everything. But I'm telling you, it takes a lot of guts for you and your family. I'm talking about you, Sister Texter, also. You know what? When I done it, you went out and they are all part of it. Man, we started two, I'm not bragging, I'm saying we know, we started two churches, helped somebody, two people start churches and tried to start one in Longmont and it failed and I felt sorry for myself.
Right.
But you know something? You can't just stand and look at the tree line.
Right.
Well, there's trouble. They had troubles. They had all kinds of things. A man died of appendicitis, and they had the Sioux Indian were kind of nasty to them, and amen. They did a lot of things. They got hungry.
Right.
For you dog lovers, they ate some dogs.
Yes.
They ate some of their horses. It was rough. It was cold. They built a fort.
Yes.
They got frozen to death. But you know what? They made it.
Yeah.
And then they came back.
Right.
Wow.
Yes.
I'm telling you, this wasn't for God's excited.
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, if you want it to be.
Yes.
If you'll read the pages of this word,
yeah.
You'll say, I've read something pretty cool. Go out and do it.
Right.
You say, what do I do? I told you. Get close to God. He'll tell you.
Yeah.
I can tell you a funny story. I always want some kind of miraculous thing in my life. So I'm helping. Don't be laughing. We used to do these things where you go in the grocery store and change these ads on the carts. Somebody does that, you know, one at a time, one at a boring talk to them. And I'm changing them. All of a sudden, we're in the pharmacy area, me and her, and I just start bawling. I mean, bawling. I'm crying. And I didn't know why. I go, Donna, I'm embarrassed. I don't know why I'm crying. So I run outside looking for somebody. God wants me to talk to somebody. I run out by the dumpsters. Don't ask me why. And I'm looking around the dumpster. I'm looking everywhere, looking to see. Why? What, God? He wants me to talk to somebody. So I run real quick. Amen. And I see a guy sitting out front on a bench. So I sit next to him like this, with tears in my eyes. Hi. Nothing happened. But I'm telling you, you can.
Right,
how wonderful. How wonderful it is when you feel the presence of God and He's speaking to your heart.
Yes.
And He's telling you, go into the woods. Don't get out of there. And that's so cool, man. It's exciting. Powerful. It's mighty. Hallelujah. I'm not saying there's not any trouble involved.
Yes.
And they did all this for a corruptible crown. I ask you and me if we're just satisfied with looking at the wood line.
Right.
Or do we want to go in?
Right.
Yes.
Amen. I'm going to tell you something from the depth of my soul. I've been thinking about it this week. If you don't, there'll come a time in your life you'll really regret it.
Right.
Look at me. I mean that.
Yes.
You'll regret it. You'll look back and you'll say, I wish I'd have done this.
Yes.
I wish I'd have done that.
Yes.
Right. I have people call me. I don't want to go back. I'm not even going to even think about it. They want me to come and baptize this one, baptize, do this funeral and that. They think like I'm still there or something. I'm not there anymore. But I tell you, I regret. I'm getting old. I'm not old, but I'm getting old.
Yes.
I guess I'm old. He called me Paul, so I guess I am. I'm telling you, now's the time.
Yeah.
Right. Right.
You say, what do I do? That's what I told you. Get a hold of God. He'll tell you.
Yeah, right.
Not everybody's going to be a preacher, a pastor, or whatever, but everybody is a so-called evangelist.
Yes. Right.
Everybody has the gospel.
Us, Lord.
The good news. There's nothing greater. I'm almost done. There's nothing greater than you tell somebody about Jesus. There's a woman in the Bible. She was a queen, the Queen of Sheba. And she heard about